Francois pumped that way. He's under pressure, and he is going down. Trayvon Hill comes at the legs as he goes low on Francois back at the 32-yard line. That is a 9-yard loss on the first sack of the year for Tech. It'll be second down and 19.
One of the highlights from a 24-3 Monday night win by Virginia Tech over Florida State. Wes McElroy, John Lazor, the voice of the Hokies. He's brought to you by Cowan Gates, and he is here. Hopefully, you and more importantly, the team got some rest after a very late night Monday night and trains, planes, and automobiles on Tuesday. How are you, buddy?
Wes, I'm doing well. I went to bed yesterday at 6 p.m. and woke up exclusively for this interview.
I was worried about you yesterday. I talked to you in the afternoon. You didn't sound so well, buddy. So I'm glad you bounced back. You got a little energy in your pipes. And let's go back to Monday night. 36 hours removed. What stood out the most about a team that we had a lot of questions about? And I don't know if we got definitive answers, but, man, we got one heck of a debut.
Yeah, what stood out the most was how the defensive line dominated in this game. And, Wes, we talked about it throughout the course of the summer. That was going to be the strength of this team. But you just played an apropos highlight there in Trayvon Hill, because he was a beast in that game, and he didn't even play the first two series. You know, I felt like that's what Florida State's probably saying on the other side, is what stood out for them is how porous their offensive line played, but give a lot of credit to Virginia Tech because they cycled through about 12 guys on that defensive line, and they got to Francois a lot in that game, and I think that bodes really well for this team.
If I pump Bud Foster and Justin Fuente fluid full of truth serum and ask them one question, and it was, did that performance surprise you? Do you think they would have said yes? Do you think that they know that those guys were capable and ready to do that Monday night?
Yeah, I think they did know, and I think more than anything, they were exceptionally confident in their game plan and what they were going to expect down there. Now, I don't think you can ever expect that type of execution and that type of lack of execution. What I mean by that from the opposition is you go into an environment like that, you feel like there's going to be a misstep here or there where there's going to be a big play, and there were, right? Florida State had a couple of big plays, including that Cam Akers run, the Kalen LeBourne reception. That was basically a run earlier in the first half. But what happened there was this year's Hokie defense, fast enough and diligent enough to not let those turn into 70 or 90-yard touchdowns like maybe they did against Georgia Tech, for example, last year. So I can't say that they would fully expect that performance, but I did think that they knew this team was prepared and were capable of that performance.
They spoke very highly. You did as well. The coaching staff, a lot of people around the program spoke very highly of Rayshard Ashby, how wise beyond his years he was, and that looked very true. True of others, but it looked very true of him for the linebackers to play part of that front seven the other night and to stuff Cam Akers. All but one big run. I mean, they stuffed one of the best talents in the ACC.
They did, yeah, and I think that for fans in Richmond, it's obviously apples to oranges, high school to that level against that opponent. But what they saw from Ashby at LC Bird was he's phenomenal at reading the exchange, and he doesn't bite on the play-action fake all that often. He seems to really have an understanding of the personnel groupings and where a play is going and then meeting the play there. I think, you know, Mike and I were talking about this. I think there's certainly room for him to grow, and he wouldn't have told you that he had an exceptional game, but he did, I feel like, have a very solid game in terms of reading the flow of what Florida State was trying to do offensively, and also put his athleticism on display. There was a couple where he was chasing the football down sideline to sideline, so he's going to be a good one. I think beyond good, I think he's going to be a special player here at Virginia Tech, and all you saw there, Wes, was kind of like you did with your daughter London a couple weeks ago. Those first steps, we'll look back 3 years from now and probably think they were wobbly, although we were pretty darn excited about them when they happened.
Nice comparison. John Lazor, the voice of the Hokies, brought to you by Cowan Gates. This is off topic, but it's on because Pete Thamel wrote about this the other night. Did you not know that assistant coaches were not eligible for the College Football Hall of Fame? Because he brought up about three Hall of Famers on the field Monday night: Frank Beamer, Bobby Bowden, and Bud Foster. And I did not realize until a month ago that assistant coaches were not eligible for the College Football Hall of Fame. And between you and me and everybody else listening, that's got to change, Lays, because I don't know how Bud Foster's not a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, well, if they don't change it, we'll create our own Hall of Fame for Bud Foster. We'll build it right here in Blacksburg, and it'll serve beer, and it'll be phenomenal. You know, I mean, Hall of Fame, technically or not, I think we'll sort that out down the line. But here's the bottom line, that the guy's the best that's ever done it, I think, in terms of being a defensive coordinator. It's funny because they have so much respect for obviously who they're coaching against and can tap dance around it sometimes and not talk it publicly. But let's just put it out there. I mean, Bud Foster ate Florida State's lunch the other night. And, yes, this guy's executed, but he was a step or two ahead all night long, and there was no doubt about that. I was standing there when Pete Samuel was asking the questions that turned into that story, and it was phenomenally well written. And just watching the aw shucks demeanor of Bud Foster, I love that guy. And I know it's cliche sometimes to say, oh, he's a Hall of Fame guy away from the game, just like he is in the game. Guys, he's the genuine article, and for those that know me, in Richmond and have talked, you know, there's definitely at times a sarcastic and cynical streak in me, Wes. Bud Foster changes that in you. He's the best that's ever done it. So if he gets into the Hall of Fame or not, it doesn't change the fact that he's the best that's ever done it.
Well, all I know is that Frank Beamer's going to the College Football Hall of Fame. I've been to the College Football Hall of Fame. The lunch pail is there. Bud Foster should be there eventually. He's John Lazer joining us, the voice of the Hokies. Okay, so everything wasn't roses and perfect. It was a heck of a debut. But the offense, Lays, and I looked at the offense, and I give Florida State's defense credit. I thought the Hokies took themselves out of a lot of drives. If you had a to-do list, if you were there with Brad Cornelison and Justin Fuente, the to-do list to get better at list, what's topping it about this offense?
Well, I think for this offense, you saw on the first drive what they can be capable of. And that's the scripted play, right? Yeah, I think they had that entire drive scripted in terms of, boom, we're going to get it out to Hezekiah Grimsley, and bang, we're going to run wide with Deshaun McLeese. And you really had Florida State's defense back on their heels. And then you see a little more plotting nature after that, particularly when you don't have success on first down. I think this offense struggles pretty dramatically. And they're trying to get a lot of personnel involved and trying to really feel their way through it. I think that group will shrink eventually in terms of who you're counting on from a playmaker standpoint and start to develop some go-to guys and some guys that are out there with a lather built up. They did do some things that shot themselves in the foot. That Hezekiah Grimsley penalty was big. They didn't have many penalties in the game, but the ones that they did were of the bad variety. That bad snap from Zachariah Hoyt, which is really the only thing he did poorly in the game, came at a time that was probably your most promising drive of the second half. But you've just got to find a way to find success on first down. And if that's going to be running the football more consistently or throwing those bubble screens more consistently, then so be it. But you've got to find an identity there. And I think they're close to it. I think also in this game, Wes, they had so much confidence and recognized how far out in front Bud Foster was in terms of coaching the game that they went to an ultra-conservative route offensively, and clearly that paid off with a +5 in the turnover margin.
You mentioned Hoyt, and I got to bring this up because I heard him the other night in the starting lineup, and I know you and Mike Burnup have talked about him before. How about Christian Darrisaw at left tackle?
Yeah, he played great, by the way. Held up phenomenally well at left tackle, and that's a Florida State line that has some firepower on it, including Brian Burns on the edge. And, yeah, we kind of knew that was coming. We had seen him somewhat overtake Janzi during the course of camp, and I wasn't sure if they were going to start him. I knew he was going to play quite a bit in the game, but he played and played well, and boom, that's, you know, it's like drafting a first rounder when you can find a freshman that can hold down left tackle for you. It's like in the NFL where you feel good about that position for 3 or 4 years. That's a valuable commodity, and hopefully the Hokies have found a good one. It certainly seemed like they did through one game.
All right, John Lazer, before I let you run, I got to ask the traditional staple question. How did the Hokies avoid JMU from a couple years ago after a big loss with William & Mary coming to town?
Well, I think Justin Fuente has been preaching about what they would need to do following Florida State this week for weeks. I heard him post-practice in camp a couple weeks ago talking about what he needed them to do from a mental standpoint in the locker room. He goes, guys, it's going to be a celebratory locker room. It's going to be a joyous locker room, and we're going to enjoy it for minutes, and then we're going to flip the script to the next day. I think it's been a wake-up call for everybody getting back to Blacksburg because all the work of the game remains. Coach Fuente was very, I'm not going to say stoic in the locker room following the win over Florida State, but it was not a Dino Babers shouting and we've done it and here we go. You know, we've done everything. We're just very calm. Guys, let's get back on the plane. I'm obviously proud of you and things like that. We've got work to do. But at the same time, this William & Mary team probably doesn't present the challenge that JMU team did either from a from a perspective of their own ability. So I think the Hokies will be okay this week.
Coverage begins at 12:30. You can hear it right here on Fox Sports 910, starting with Andrew Allegretta, myself. We got Eddie Royal this week on the pregame show?
We do.
All right, and then John Lazor and Mike Burnup with all the action at 2 o'clock. All right, my friend, go back to bed. Get some rest, and we'll talk to you on Saturday.
Oh, those days are over, my friend. 16-hour workday starts now.
Up and at 'em, Johnny boy. Thank you, buddy.
See you, bud.
John Lazor, brought to you by Cowan Gates, 11 attorneys on staff, and there for you in any case.